We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
I'm here. My name is Gary Parish. I'm speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Bennett Doyle's producing a program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can.
Well, Daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and Wendry.
And I hope to God you never find yourself the fan of a team coached by Nathaniel Hackett. Because that doesn't seem fun. That seems stupid. What was my guy doing last night? What was my guy doing last night?
I'm not sure.
That's an all-timer, Bennett. Monday Night Football was supposed to be about Russell Wilson's return to Seattle, and I guess on some level it was, but very quickly, the story turned into Denver's first-year head coach making a colossal mistake via a bad decision. Even if the kick is good from 64 yards... still the dumbest decision you could possibly make. It's just a math thing. Let me share some math stuff with you momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. Will Brinson covers the NFL for CBS Sports. Going to join me in the next segment. I'll talk to him about last night's Denver debacle, about the Titans' season opening loss, about how the Cowboys going to get by without Dak Prescott. Will Brinson going to be here around 4:20. Finish that, take a break, come back, do four notable stories at 4:44, at which point we will discuss... four previously undiscussed stories, among them the Emmys were held last night. Live in Los Angeles on NBC, Succession won Best Drama, Ted Lasso won Best Comedy, Jason Sudeikis, Zendaya, Gene Smart, Michael Keaton among the individual winners. We'll spend a few minutes on that around 4:44. Suns owner Robert Sarver has been fined $10 million, suspended for a year, for more or less being a terrible person. Spend a few minutes on that around 4:44. Tell you more, we'll switch to baseball after that. Angel star Mike Trout, he homered in his seventh straight game last night. So he'll try to become just the fourth player in Major League Baseball history later tonight to homer in eight straight games. We'll get into that just before 5 o'clock. And Danny Ainge has explained why he broke up the Utah Jazz. I'll tell you what he said during four notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins. Just like always, then I'll eventually do dinner to go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I did want to start with Monday Night Football because, man, oh, man, that sure was something last night. Heading in, the story was former Seahawks great Russell Wilson returning to Seattle as a Bronco for the first time. After the game, the story was Denver's first-year coach, a dude named Nathaniel Hackett, making an undeniably dumb decision late in the fourth that eliminated a reasonable chance at a win and led to Seattle, upsetting Denver 17-16. Before we get to that, Big Bet Bennett, I tried to tell you the Sharps were on Seattle. You were hard-headed.
My God.
You were hard-headed. When did you realize you had once again made a mistake?
Well, it was before the Nathaniel Hackett decision because they wouldn't have covered anyways. I guess they could have drove down the field.
When Geno Smith looked like a future Hall of Famer, is that when you knew you had made a mistake?
Yeah, I mean, I probably should have taken into account the motion, you know, all of that stuff. I was trying to just be smart.
You were hard-headed.
It was hard-headed. I mean, what's wrong with Russell Wilson? You know what? When I knew that I had screwed up? Mm. When I saw him walk into the arena in that green suit. That's when I was like, this is not going to go well at all.
He said the booze didn't bother him.
Oh, stop.
Stop.
By the way, totally fine with the booze. Why does anyone care about that?
Well, like, I'm totally fine with the boos because they're warranted. Like we talked about this last week. What you did somewhere does not matter as much as how you left. What were the circumstances connected to you leaving? If you were shipped away, then the fans aren't mad at you because you didn't want to go. You were told to leave. But if you are the one who forces your way out of a place, then the fans should obviously be upset with that.
Yep.
We didn't want you to leave. You said you wanted to leave, and you forced our hand to move you. So what did anybody expect? When LeBron James went back to Cleveland for the first time, he was booed. Kevin Durant went back to Oklahoma City for the first time, he was booed. Because they both chose to leave those places in very controversial ways. The other end of the spectrum, Mike Conley comes back to FedEx Forum for the first time. Cheered. Why? Mike Conley never asked to be moved out of Memphis. Right. The Grizzlies thought they were going through a rebuild. They drafted John Morant. You don't need Mike Conley anymore. So they moved Mike Conley. If Mike Conley would have right up in the middle of the Core 4 era said, I want out of here, well, then when Mike Conley came back, he probably would have been booed. But that's not what happened. The context is what's important. I don't understand anybody who doesn't understand why Seattle fans booed Russell Wilson last night. But we can talk about that later. For now, let's get back to the weird decision made in the final minute. So by now, you probably know the deal. Even if you didn't watch the game, you probably know the deal. Denver's down a point, final minutes. Broncos are driving. It's 3rd and 14 at the Denver 45. Russell Wilson connects with Javonte Williams. He gains 9 yards. Gets to the Seattle 46. Is tackled with a little more than a minute left. At this point, it's 4th and 5 from the Seattle 46. Everybody is expecting Denver to call a timeout,
mm-hmm.
considering Denver has 3 timeouts. And they're still only at the 46. Peyton Manning on the Manning cast is literally signaling for a timeout. Eli Manning on the Manning cast is asking for and expecting a timeout. But Denver instead just lets the clock run down, 20 seconds. Then calls a timeout. And then tries to kick a 64-yard field goal for the win with a kicker who has, you ready for this, literally never kicked a 64-yard field goal in a game. You are actually asking a guy to do something he's never done. Brandon McManus, his career-long field goal is 61 yards. He entered the game 1 of 7 on field goal attempts of 60-plus yards. And has never kicked one longer than 61. Now you're asking him on the road, outside as opposed to inside, to make a 64-yarder. Surprise, surprise, he missed it. Actually, twice.
Yeah, it just didn't make any sense.
I mean, it made no sense whatsoever.
Like, you paid Russell Wilson all his money.
$242 yeah. million. Dollars.
You need 5 yards. And again, like, you have 3 timeouts, so if you don't get the 5 yards, there's still a scenario. I mean, listen, unlikely that you're going to get the ball back with hardly any time on the clock, but, like, you can, in theory, get the ball back if he doesn't get the 4th down if you hang on to those 3 timeouts.
This is how indefensible, and I'll give you the numbers on it in a second, but this is how indefensible the decision is. Peyton Manning, who is recognized as one of the greatest football minds ever, is watching your game. Because of the Manning cast, we're able to watch Peyton watch your game. And between Peyton, Eli, and their guest at the time, Shannon Sharp, these are all guys who have played at the highest level. Not a one of them even considered the idea that you might be settling for a field goal there.
No, even on the regular broadcast, like Troy Aikman and Joe Buck are talking like, okay, it looks like they're going to, you know, go figure this out before they go out there and go for it. They don't even realize what's going on until he's out there ready to kick the field goal. They're like, what?
At some point on the Manning cast, Peyton says, they're going to kick it, guys. And Shannon Sharp says, kick what? They're going to do what? When smart football people, in addition to like every dummy like me just watching from a distance,
yeah,
can't comprehend what you're doing or why you're doing it, it's pretty clear you're making a terrible decision, or at least a decision that isn't rooted in sense or math. Here's a number that's been going around a lot today, and it just crystallizes exactly how nonsensical this decision was. First off, NFL kickers are 2 of 41 from 64 yards plus since 1960. 2 of 41. That's 4.8%. In the history of the NFL since 1960, when people try to kick a field goal from this distance or longer, they miss it more than 95% of the time. Now, combine that fact with this fact. The guy you're actually trying to get to do this isn't one of the people who's made one of those literally ever in his career. He's made one 61-yarder in his career, and at that moment is one of seven on field goal attempts of 60 or more yards in his career. So historically, regardless of who your kicker is, you're going to miss this kick 95% of the time. According to the guy you got trying it, you're going to miss it 100% of the time because he's literally never done it. Now, consider this number. In his career, Russell Wilson, have you seen the stat?
Mm-mm.
On fourth downs between 4 and 6 yards, he's converted 57% of the time.
I saw that. Yep.
All right. So you're a football coach. It's 4th and 5. We're at the 46. We got two options here. We can either put the ball in our quarterback who we just gave away a million picks and paid $242 million. We can put the ball in his hands, tell him to go make a play. And in his career, he has actually made this play 57% of the time, more than half of the time that he attempts it. That's option A. Or option B, we can ask a kicker who has literally never made one from this distance, who plays a position where when other kickers have tried this since 1960, have missed it more than 95% of the time. That's option B. We can do option A, which is successful 57% of the time based on the guy we got doing it, or do something that is unsuccessful more than 95% of the time based on history. How in the world do you kick that field goal?
No, and like the funny thing about it is afterwards, Nathaniel Hackett, like, they missed the field goal, and then he starts calling his other two timeouts like the game's over. You can't use them anymore. The clock's running out on you, dude. It's not going to work.
I mean, that is incompetence at the highest level.
Yeah.
Total incompetence. You can never, ever, ever control results, but you can control decisions. So as a coach or any decision maker in any walk of life, the goal should always be to make the right decision, then live with the results. Make the right decision, then live with the results. If you were sitting at a blackjack table and you've got 19, dealer's got a 6, what do you do there? You stay. I'm good. If you hit, even if you get 21 and the dealer had a 4 underneath, so now 6, 4, face card, 10, 20. Oh, I got 21, you got 20. Even if you win when you hit, it was still the wrong decision. So it was dumb. It worked out, but it was dumb. The other side of that, 19, dealer's got a face. I'm going to stay. Flip it over, another face, 20, you lose. Even if you lose, you made the right decision. Make the right decision, live with the results. That's good advice in all walks of life. Just make the right decision, live with the results. Last night, Nathaniel Hackett made the wrong decision. There is literally no sensible way to defend what he did. And yet, when he tried to defend what he did, here's what he said. Well, I talked to McManus before the game. I said, where are you good from? He said 64. So we're in a position to kick a 64-yarder. He told me he's good. Let's go. Okay.
No.
First off, just because your guy might have made one in warm-ups from 64 doesn't mean it is statistically likely that he will make one from 64 in a game under those circumstances. Just because you can do something doesn't mean it's what you should do when there are other options.
And you think your kicker's going to, like, tell you the truth when you ask him that? Like, I mean, come on. First off, might be good from, like, you know, 58. Now, of course they're going to say something outrageous like 64.
How about this? How about I don't take your word for it? How about,
no, I'm the coach.
How about I have somebody monitoring you in pregame, and they can tell me where they think you're comfortable at, especially under these circumstances. Just because you can theoretically make a 64-yard field goal doesn't mean that you should be kicking a 64-yard field goal for the win when the alternative option is, let's see if Russell Wilson can convert a 4th-and-5. Because he does it more than half the times he tries it. You think this dude can make a 64-yarder more than half the times he tries it? No. But Russell Wilson can convert this more than half the times he tries it. That's what his career tells us. So what are we doing? Like, if you're standing in the middle of a fairway on a par 5, 240 yards away, you got water on the right, bunkers on the left, I mean, you can get it there if you're a weekend hack, but should you try it? I mean, just because you can do it doesn't mean you should try it, because more often than not, something's going to go wrong. Mm-hmm. Which is why I'm basically the Nathaniel Hackett of golf. I'm out there making dumb decisions every round. I'm like Nathaniel Hackett more often than I'd like to be. But if I were a Denver fan, that's maddening to me. It's one thing when it's a proven coach just made a stupid decision. It would still be a stupid decision. We'd still be ripping the guy today. First year coach, first game, and that's what you do?
Yeah.
Not a good sign. Not saying he can't recover from it. Certainly not a good sign. Will Brinson's up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Now back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Here come the menaces to sobriety, like what?
Suns owner Robert Sarver has been fined $10 million, suspended for a year by the NBA for being a terrible person, among other things. We'll get into that story in the next segment. Jeff Coggins will be here a little after 5 o'clock, but right now, covers the NFL for CBS Sports. Will Brinson making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show, Big Interview on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Well, Will Brinson, that was an all-timer last night from first-year coach Nathaniel Hackett. How shocked were you that he let that clock run the way he let that clock run and then try to kick a game-winning 64-yard field goal?
I mean, GP, it's like, you know, a lot of times we'll see the, you know, these big games, these, you know, the island games, and everybody's, you know, a lot of debate, you know, about whether, you know, coach should go for it or kick it, fourth down, you know. Like Pete Briscoe's always, you know, I would kick. You know, he's tweeting out, I would kick. Like, so Pete, nobody, everyone knows you would kick. There was no debate last night. It was a universal, what the hell is happening, like train wreck in slow motion. Because, you know, it's like, you know, I had the Manning cast on, one game, two TVs, right? I had the Manning cast on and then, you know, watching the feed on the other one. And Peyton Manning's like, you know, going, timeout. It's like, you have to go for that fourth and five. There is some advanced analytics and stuff that says with the way that kickers kick in modern day, you know, the modern game, maybe it's closer to like 25% chance he makes it, but that conversion is probably like 40% for Russell Wilson, you know, and even if it's lower, like, you still have to go for that. And it's the irony of it was that, you know, Russell Wilson wanted it out of Seattle because he felt like Pete Carroll's offense was holding him back, and, you know, they didn't want to let Russ cook. And you go to Denver, you force your way out with this trade, you get this huge contract, and then your coach pulls you off the field on fourth and five right before the freaking, right when you've got a chance to go win the game, go set it up with a game-winning field goal, you're holding three timeouts. It was an unbelievable bungling by Nathaniel Hackett.
I was also watching the Manning cast, and what struck me, and I went back and watched it today just to make sure I remembered it correctly, is that this clock is running down, and for a not insignificant amount of time, Peyton, Eli, and Shannon Sharp, they don't even consider that they're about to kick this. They're trying to figure out what they're doing.
Like, it's just like, oh,
not even on the table.
Out now and set it up. Yeah.
Not even on the table. And when those guys have no idea you're about to do what it is you're about to do, it suggests that you're doing something wrong. Beyond that, there's this. I saw this stat today. In his career, you give Russell Wilson a fourth down between 4 and 60 yards. He's 4 and 6 yards. He's converted it 57% of the time. He's literally more likely to get it than not get it based on his history, which makes it even more nonsensical to take the ball out of his hands.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And like, you know, you know what's even crazier is that, like, I think they called timeout with like 20 seconds left, right? And McManus goes out there and he kicks the field goal and he misses it. Now, it had the distance, but, like, that should have given you a chance to say, you know what? Maybe he's not going to make this. We've got three timeouts. Let's go for this fourth and five. Even at the 20-second mark, like, that would have been pretty foolish, too, if you wind the clock all the way down there, call timeout, go. Because, if you don't get it, they're just going to take knees. The move is – and actually, we talked about this on the Pick 6 podcast, Daily NFL Podcast, subscribe, rate, and review, Apple Podcast, wherever you get your podcast, he said promiscuously. But the other thing they could have done, if you really want a galaxy brain, it is – They complete the pass to Javonte Williams for like 9 yards, right? It's fourth and five. If you want to kick that field goal, that 64-yard field goal, you've got three timeouts. Run the kicking team out there and kick it without calling a timeout. That way, if you miss, you've got three timeouts. When the Seahawks won't be able to take knees, they'll have to run three plays. You could potentially get the ball back with it'd be like 10, 15, 20 seconds, not a ton of time. But if you're going to kick, don't run the clock all the way down and use your timeout. Sprint the guy out there, have him blast a kick, and if he makes it, you know, you've got your timeout. You just got to stop Geno Smith. I'm not advocating for that. I'm just saying, like, not only was the kick the wrong move, but, like, the way that they handled getting to the kick was the wrong move as well.
So ridiculous. I'm talking to Will Brinson, covers the NFL for CBS Sports. He's on Twitter, @WillBrinson. So how does Nathaniel Hackett, you know, not recover from this, because, like, you know, just go out, win next week, win the next week, everything's fine. But, like, this is really, he has been the, I think, sports figure most talked about today in this country, and I never said his name before today. How does he recover from a reputation perspective from this opening night blunder?
Well, I think the other thing that you got to worry about, too, is it's sort of like, you know, I mean, they play the Texans next week. They're 10-point favorites, I think, at least. You know, they're at home. Yeah, in theory, they should roll. The Texans look kind of frisky against the Colts, though, so you never know. I mean, I think the thing I would worry about if I'm Hackett or if I'm, you know, Broncos management or Russell Wilson or anybody on that team is, like, you know, if you play golf and, like, you start blading your irons or something and, you know, it gets in your head and you start thinking about it. Right. I mean, it's sort of like what is Hackett going to do the next time he's got a serious, you know, late game situation that he's got to manage? Is he going to be able to handle it? I mean, that's what I would worry about the most. You know, I think from a reputation perspective, he'll be fine. It's just, you've got to, you know, like a good example of like the opposite end of the spectrum, right? Brandon Staley and the Chargers. Brandon Staley on Sunday actually he only went for it once on fourth down. And on the second drive, I believe, they were at the 49. They're on 49, basically midfield. And they had fourth and one, and they punted. It was kind of shocking to see from Staley, who'd been so aggressive last year. And it does point to, like, a lot of reason why coaches are inherently so conservative is because if you're conservative, you're less likely to get opened up to criticism. I think, you know, Hackett was even, you know, probably thinking, like, let's just get a field goal look and try to win the game. You know, being conservative, so it's you just have to, like, you know, I would anticipate that this criticism, I guess what I'm saying is this criticism, I think, is very likely to cause him to be less analytically sound when it comes to decision making, because you get criticized like that much, and you're probably going to retreat into the shell and be a little more conservative, generally speaking.
The point you just made is, you know, on the list of reasons why I didn't understand last night, it's your first game as a head coach. Nobody is going to question you if you just give the ball. Say Russell Wilson, he's our $242 million quarterback. We're going to let him go try to make a play. Nobody questions that.
Yeah.
Nobody. But trying to kick from 64 yards when you take Russell Wilson off the field, that puts you right in the middle of the focus of the criticism, and he's paying a price for it today. I'm talking to Will Brinson from CBS Sports. Moving on, how concerned should Titans fans be about that season opening loss in Nashville the other day?
You're pretty concerned, I think. You know, there weren't a lot of people who were high on the Titans, you know, coming into this year, or at least, I mean, you know, Titans fans get mad at you, obviously, but, you know, they think they're going to be good. But, you know, most people are selling the Titans, and with good reason, right? I think Mike Vrabel's a great coach. Ryan Tannehill probably underrated relative to how people perceive him, and Derrick Henry's a beast. But you trade A.J. Brown in the offseason, and you replace him with Treylon Burks, who's, you know, more like a move tight end than necessarily like a, you know, a true number one wide receiver. You have Robert Woods there. I think he got like one target. So the pass game, it's just, I mean, like, what's this pass game going to be for Tennessee? And can you really win in the NFL in 2022 if you're just, you know, Derrick Henry has to be an absolute monster for them to win. And then defensively, losing Harold Landry is massive because they had really improved that defensive front. They were getting some pass rush. You know, Bud Dupree, a nice number two pass rusher. Landry sort of blossomed to a one. Jeffrey Simmons, a beast down there in the middle. Landry out, I mean, it just takes a lot away from that defense and what they want to do. I mean, of course, there's always a path for, you know, virtually every team to make a playoff run, but it's just harder to find one for the Titans, you know, given that the Colts, you know, they did tie. The division looks a little tougher overall relative to the past few years, and the AFC is so jam packed that, you know, you know 9-7 second place in the, or 9-8 excuse me, second place in the AFC South is not going to be a wild card spot. So I would be pretty nervous if I was a Titans fan.
The offense obviously struggled, particularly as the game progressed. And my producer, he's a Titans fan. He was lamenting the idea that they, you know, don't have anybody comparable to A.J. Brown. With the benefit of hindsight, is it fair to question if Tennessee handled that situation correctly or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
good.
I don't think we need hindsight. Like, I think, like, in the moment, I couldn't. And, like, that's why I picked the. You know, I was big on the Eagles this year. And one of the big reasons to A.J. Brown, like, the dude is a freak of nature. He's a man. He's a grown ass man, and he was a huge. It was such a perfect compliment for what they wanted to do on offense because, you know, he doesn't have to be a target monster to do what he does in the field. You know, he is. I mean, it's almost like an inefficient efficiency, right? He's a low target, like high explosive play guy, and that's perfect for a low volume offense like the Titans run, where they want to feature Derrick Henry, but then give you the option to go up top with A.J. Brown. And I get that he wanted a bunch of money, but, you know, like look at these guys that got paid, whether it's Deebo Samuel, DK Metcalf, you know, or A.J. Brown. I mean, you know, just to list the first couple from this offseason, like those guys are game changers. And to let a guy like A.J. Brown walk and is just wild to me. And even though he needed that money, I think it was in the moment, I thought it was a crazy idea. And you saw the video of Vrabel in the draft room. He like stood up and like stormed out. He was so mad about it.
I'm talking to Will Brinson from CBS Sports. He's on Twitter at Will Brinson, also host of the Pick Six Pod. You can find that anywhere you find podcasts, including Apple Podcast and Spotify. Last season, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers were terrible in week one, ended up being fine. He won a second straight MVP award. This season in week one, offense only scored 7 points. Is there something to that, Aaron Rodgers in week one, or is it just a coincidence?
You know, it's weird. The lowest number of points scored by a reigning MVP in the week one following the year that they won the award, Aaron Rodgers has the two lowest.
Yes.
He's 3-7. I mean, I think it's probably just coincidence or, you know, whether it's like week one malaise. I don't know. I mean, I do think that being a little more concerned about this year with the lack of Devontae Adams and the lack of true wide receivers is certainly more viable. But just like last year, GP, they've got a division rival with lots of question marks. You know, last year was the Lions, and they came to Lambeau for the opener, and they paddled them. And this year, you know, they get the Bears on, I think on Sunday night. And, yeah, because there's two Monday night doubleheaders. And I would anticipate that they wear Chicago out pretty good. I mean, the Bears picked up a huge win in crazy conditions. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers has stated that he does own the Bears. And I think you see them kind of get right. The concern for me, you know, obviously the big drop by Christian Watson on the first pass that he threw, that changes the game if it's 7-7, because he's walking in if he gets his hands around it. And I think that changes the game a little bit. And then I want to see Aaron Jones get more targets. You know, he can viably be the wide receiver one, you know, with air quotes around it, for that team as these sort of younger guys develop. A.J. Dillon being the leading receiver is just something that really can't happen. So Robert Tonyan and Aaron Jones, the two guys that I want to see really come out and explode against the Bears on Sunday night.
Wrapping up here with Will Brinson from CBS Sports. Last thing before I let you go, Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott did have surgery yesterday on that injured right thumb, but Jerry Jones, the Cowboys owner, said today they're not going to put him on injured reserve, the hope being that he could come back, you know, maybe multiple weeks earlier than the original diagnosis of 6 to 8 weeks. So I suppose that's encouraging news for a Cowboys franchise that certainly didn't have much to be encouraged about Sunday night.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, they did the same thing with Tony Romo when Dak replaced him back, 2013, I guess. Whatever year it was.
Right.
I lose track of everything at this stage. Right.
Join the club.
They're always reticent to put their star players on IR. They feel like they don't want to signal that they're giving up. You know, they want them. I think Jerry likes the fact that there will be attention paid to the Dak Prescott situation over the next few weeks as he sort of tries to recover. You know, look, Jerry Jones loves attention. He's going to get attention for Dak. You don't get that if he's on IR because it's a set number of weeks. You know, the process goes through and then he can come off, et cetera. So, I mean, there's probably a little bit of both there. You know, when you hear the way that the injury is described, it's like above the joint, like behind the joint, above the thumb. I just don't see how that's a quick turnaround recovery for a quarterback because of the way that you have to grip the football and the importance of, you know, that. I mean, you know, that joint is, you know, you're on the thumb and the forefinger, you know, there's a lot of torque going into that. Like, it's a very important joint when it comes to the hand and throwing a football. And so I just don't see him coming back as quickly as Jerry would like to believe. It wouldn't be surprising if they tried to rush him back because they feel like this season's slipping away. And, you know, if you're Mike McCarthy, you know, you are – you are on the thinnest possible of ice at this point, because not only, you know, it's not like you can even use it as an excuse now. It's like, hey, you know, this guy hadn't missed a single game until you showed up, Mike, and now he's missed, like, I know it's probably just freak injuries, but, you know, it is odd that it's happened twice since McCarthy got there, in partial because, you know, he's throwing the ball that late and under duress because of the issues that the Cowboys didn't address with their offensive line, that they didn't address with their receivers, et cetera, et cetera. So it is a tenuous situation at best in Dallas.
That is Will Brinson, covers the NFL for CBS Sports. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Will Brinson and subscribe to the Pick 6 podcast. You can find it anywhere you find podcasts. It's a daily NFL podcast available Apple, Spotify, and again, anywhere else you can find podcasts. Buddy, I appreciate your time. Thanks for being here.
All right, anytime, GP. See you, man.
All right, baby. That's Will Brinson from CBS Sports. LOL'd when I asked him if it's fair to wonder if the Titans handled the A.J. Brown situation
correctly.
Dude,
I mean, A.J. Brown, I think he had like 150-something yards receiving on Sunday. Like, it's just the stupidest thing ever. I told you, like when we talked about it before the season started, I was like, I knew the season was over when they traded A.J. Brown.
Like, at some point, the guy's awesome, pay him.
The guy's awesome, pay him. It's what's happening, like he said, with receiver, good receiver.
These guys are getting paid everywhere.
The NFL, and, like, you look at what happened last season with the Titans. Okay, Derrick Henry goes down for the second half of the season, and how do they stay afloat? A.J. Brown, a big part of that. Like I just don't get it.
Like, don't pay running backs is sort of an accepted thing now, right?
Right, right.
But don't pay receivers is not really a thing.
No,
it's just a thing. It's a thing that the Titans decided.
Yeah, 100%. I'm disgusted. Hearing him talk about that, I was just like nodding my head like, yep, that's right.
I'm disgusted for you.
I'm disgusted, GP. And then, yeah, I can't. I'm
disgusted on your behalf.
I will say Monday night, I found out last night, is actually a doubleheader.
Yes.
So luckily the Titans like won't be the only possible national embarrassment on Monday night, so hopefully that's the case.
It's a weird deal, if I've got it right. We're going to have a doubleheader. It's not really a doubleheader.
No, they're going on like at the same time.
It's like two games, one on ESPN, one on ABC, and they're separated by about an hour and 15 minutes. 6:15 Titans-Bills, and then at 7:30, you know, you got Vikings-Eagles. Why are they doing that? I'm sure they have their reason.
Oh, I know the reason.
What's the reason? I'm just kidding. What's the reason, Big Ben?
They know what's going to happen in Titans. They were like, we have to get something else on.
That
we
is not the
reason.
We have
to put something else on the television. This is going to be a horrible game.
That's not
We've got to get something on. I don't know. I don't know why they would do that. That's odd, especially since they're both ESPN games. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Maybe they'll just say we're going to have the two highest rated things on primetime Monday night television. Maybe that's it.
Yeah, but I mean, if like, don't networks like to brag about record breaking
25 million?
You're not going to get that.
You quite clearly will not maximize your audience for either game by having the games overlap.
Right. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
I'm sure it makes. I'm always careful about the way I talk about this. On a surface level, I think this is the accurate way to say it. On a surface level, I don't understand it. But I'm sure if you called the executives who make this decision, they would explain it to you and you go, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. And usually they do this week one, so maybe it's just we're going to do it week two this year. And, hey, maybe they thought, look, the late game doesn't do as well, that one that, you know, kicks off at like 9 o'clock or right. whatever when we do that. So we need to just kind of overlap them a little bit to maximize viewership. I don't know.
Hey, I'm sure they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Unless Nathaniel Hackett was in charge of making this decision.
That's right.
What if we find out Nathaniel Hackett is the one who staggered these NFL games next Monday night by an hour and 15 minutes?
Or the Titans GM,
They were just like, well, we'll just trust Nathaniel. We'll let Nathaniel Hackett handle the scheduling. And he's like, let's stagger the starts by an hour and 15 minutes. And then it's like, hold up. We let the guy who tried to kick a 64-yard field goal, instead of let Russell Wilson convert a fourth and five, we let that guy create our schedule for next Monday night? Then you got a mistake on your hands.
Think so.
Emmys were last night. Succession won Best Drama. Ted Lasso won Best Comedy. We'll spend a few minutes on that next. You listen, Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Now back to the Gary Parrott Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
You don't want it, then you stab me in my back again. You the type to play the joke and try to hide your hand. Not the type to come around and try to play your friend. You the type to cut the grass and snake your bestest man. I'm the type to close the deal and cut my then. See me in person, I look like a ghost. See me in person, I look like a ghost. Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat? Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat? Goat body. All you rap sound like me. Can't tell who is who. You got no real identity. Can't tell you from you.
Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves world championship barbecue, and that's Memphis Barbecue Company. It's owned by Melissa Cookston, seven-time world champion, first woman ever inducted into the Barbecue Hall of Fame. So needless to say, the barbecue is great at Memphis Barbecue Company. But what happens when you don't feel like barbecue? Or somebody you're with doesn't feel like barbecue? I mean, I can't even imagine why somebody wouldn't feel like barbecue. It doesn't make sense to me, but you know, a lot of things in this world don't make sense to me. I don't have to understand everything, you know? Well, here's the good news. You can still go to Memphis Barbecue Company. Why? Because, okay, you don't want barbecue. Fine. You want a salad? You want a burger? You want a sandwich? You want catfish, salmon? You want grilled chicken, chicken tenders? You want meatloaf, smoked wings? You don't have to have barbecue at Memphis Barbecue Company. I would. I do. But you don't have to. The menu has items that don't fall under the barbecue umbrella, so if you're not in the mood for barbecue, you got options waiting on you. 709 DeSoto Cove, that's the address. You can dine in 7 days a week or schedule a pickup order online at memphisbbqco.com. That's memphisbbqco.com. Jeff Calkins is going to join me a little after 5 o'clock, but right now I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
The Emmys were last night. You said you would watch. Did you watch?
Watch the whole thing.
I watched most of the whole thing.
Yep. I like a good award show.
I love an award show.
I really do, too. I really do, too. Like, on top of, like, a big-time sporting event, I think I'd put an award show right up there.
Do you have a favorite award show?
Yeah, the Oscars. I like the Oscars.
Because they hit each other, the Oscars.
Yeah, they hit each other. I'm a big movie guy. So, yeah, I'd go Oscars, probably my favorite. I don't know if it's the best, but it's my favorite.
I think my favorite is probably Grammys.
Yeah, because you got the performances, you know. You know a lot of the songs. Sure, I get it. I like the Grammys, too.
Pros, you get performances. Yep. Cons, I ain't never seen somebody slap somebody.
Yeah, you had Kanye go up on stage and yank the microphone from Taylor Swift.
That was VMAs.
Oh, that was VMAs. VMAs is where all the Grammys are more you know, straight-laced. Like, the VMAs is where the controversial
VMAs
stuff happens.
Where it gets wild sometimes.
That's where it gets wild. You're right.
Kanye
You're
on stage with Taylor Swift. You get Britney kissing Madonna.
Yeah, that's right.
You got Howard Stern being fart man. You remember that?
I do remember that. God, like, that wouldn't even be a thing. That wouldn't even be a blip on the radar these days.
Nobody would even care.
Nobody would care.
Would it even be a big deal if Britney and Madonna kissed in the year 2022? Like, what would be the equivalent of that?
If, like, Taylor Swift and Olivia Rodrigo kissed? Well, no, because it had to be someone older.
But, like,
if, like, Taylor Swift kissed Barbara Streisand.
No, I think you got it about right. Like, if Taylor Swift kissed Olivia Rodrigo.
Yeah, I think that would probably.
That would be awesome, though.
That light social media on fire for sure.
You see Olivia Rodrigo jump on stage with Billy Joel a few weeks ago at Madison Square Garden?
I did.
That was a nice little scene.
That was nice, yeah.
It was a sweet little deal.
Yeah.
So the Emmys were last night.
Forgot. Not a lot of controversy there. Not a lot of controversy there.
Forgot what we were talking about.
No. Did nothing controversial happen last night?
I don't think so.
Nah.
Although Jason Sudeikis won. He was actually an underdog to Bill Hader.
I wanted him to go up there and say something about Olivia Wilde.
You know what? I did too.
Like, dudes, you got to say something. You're the one that handed her papers when she was doing some speech. Like, you got to say something.
You know what? I've been Team Olivia Wilde for a while.
Uh-huh.
Mostly because I just have enjoyed Olivia Wilde for a while.
Yep. She's great.
Except I don't like all this trash in your ex.
Yeah, it seems like...
I don't like trash in your ex.
It's an ugly situation.
She's been trashing him.
She has.
On the record.
She has. Yep, there's no doubt.
She said, I was not surprised I was served in such a public way. It's consistent with his behavior. I left that relationship for a reason.
Ooh, I think if you're Jason Sudeikis, like, to make light of that, you got to, like, have somebody come out and do something funny while you're accepting your award.
I don't think you can go to any jokes because that's like your kids are involved.
Yeah.
I don't think you can make any jokes. And I actually don't think he should have said anything about Olivia Wilde. It's just that she has, I think, changed the perception of him with some people.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody looked at Jason Sudeikis. You know what they see? Ted Lasso.
Yep.
And everybody loves Ted Lasso. And then they see, oh, man, guy got dumped. And then his, I don't think they were ever actually married. So his partner then goes and starts dating Harry Styles. Poor Jason Sudeikis. And then Olivia Wilde's just trashing the guy all the time.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, maybe he's not a nice guy. Maybe he's a bad guy. And that's not for, we don't know.
We don't know.
Because you know one thing I've learned about estranged couples?
Mm.
They both got stories.
Yeah.
And if you listen to one of them, you'll think the other one's the bad guy. But then you go listen to the bad guy, and you'll think the other one's the bad guy.
Right.
With some exceptions. I acknowledge sometimes we can agree. Like, ah, no, that was the, we all agree. This is the bad one in the relationship. Sometimes that's, but other times, I've had friends go through divorces like this. And it's like, I listen to one of them, and I go, yeah, I could see why you wanted out of that. I'm sorry you had to go through that.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go talk to the other person and go, oh, no, let me tell you what. That's what they said? No, let me tell you what actually happened. You go, oh, wow. That's not the way I heard it. The truth is somewhere in the middle often.
I think that's true, yeah.
And so Olivia Wilde's out there changing the perception of Jason Sudeikis. I don't know if it's fair.
I don't know.
What I'm certain of is I don't like it.
Me either.
I'd like to think two people could move on in their lives and not trash each other publicly. Maybe privately.
Yeah.
But not publicly. So I was happy to see Jason Sudeikis win.
Yeah. I never watched Ted Lasso.
It's good.
Is it good?
Yeah.
See, that's why I don't watch it. Because of just how you just said it right there. It's good.
Well, it's good. I don't love it as much as the people who love it love it. Like, outstanding comedy series. I'm trying to see what else was nominated last night.
Barry, Only Murders in the Building, Hacks, Abbott Elementary, Curb.
I think Hacks is better than Ted Lasso.
I've never seen that. Barry's not a comedy anymore, so you can't even put that in that category.
I think Hacks is better. I enjoyed both of them. I think if you were to ask me which is better, I would tell you Hacks is better than Ted Lasso.
Okay.
But I was happy to see Jason Sudeikis win.
Yep.
Succession won Best Drama.
No surprise.
No surprise.
Yeah, I thought Severance might have a chance as like a dark horse, but man, Succession's just so dang good. The acting is just awesome in that show. The story is great. Yeah.
Succession's great.
Yeah.
No complaints there. Zendaya won?
You called that one.
She was the biggest favorite of all the individual.
Yeah.
She's great in Euphoria.
Yeah.
I know Euphoria is not for everybody,
but she's great.
She is great playing a drug addicted teenager.
Yes, I liked her speech too.
She plays that role. She's really, really good. And so I thought she was a deserving winner. Jean Smart won for Hacks. Mm-hmm. I thought she was a deserving winner. So it was a fun night of television, even if nobody got slapped.
Story number two.
Robert Sarver, owner of the NBA's Phoenix Suns and WNBA's Phoenix Mercury. He's been suspended for a year, fined $10 million by the NBA as a result of an investigation into the Suns franchise. Seems light.
It does seem a little light.
He was told in 2004, because he had a habit of repeating the N-word.
Right, I was going to say, did he just walk around the building saying the N-word?
Yes, he would hear a player use the N-word, and then he would quote them, and then use the N-word. And at some point, somebody said, hey, Robert, maybe you don't know, but like, the N-word's off limits. Even if you're, like, you know, if for some reason you're rapping, N-word's off limits for you. even if you're literally quoting something Patrick Beverley yelled at you, the N-word is off limits for you. He was told that in 2004, 18 years ago, and still continued to use the N-word in the exact same way. Like, how is that okay? If I said the N-word right now, I'd get fired tonight.
Yeah, and it's, oh yeah, for sure.
It'd be over for me.
Yeah, and I just, like, on top of that, it just seems like he's, like, a jerk.
Just seems like a bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, harassing women, harassing men, treating people poorly, just seems like a bad guy.
Yeah.
And I saw Richard Jefferson talking about this earlier on ESPN. He was like, when I talked to Suns players, current and former, and I'd say, oh, like, man, did you hear what's being reported? Did you hear what's said? They'd go, oh, yeah, that sounds about right. That's who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they could have, if Adam Silver wanted to, they could have taken this to the Board of Governors and tried to get a three-quarter, I believe it's 75% of the owners have to vote him out, and then he would be forced to sell the team. That's essentially what they did with Donald Sterling.
Yeah.
I wonder why they didn't do that. I mean, perhaps Adam Silver just knew, I can't get, we're not going to get 75% of the vote to get him out, so what is the point? But, like, $10 million is nothing to an owner of an NBA franchise. Like, nothing.
No, right.
And so, really, it's just a one-year suspension. But it's still the same guy. And now you're asking your players, there's only 30 places you can work in the NBA. Mm. And now one of them is owned by a guy who's just running around yelling the N-word all the time. Like, that seems like not okay. So, we'll see where this goes from here. But the prevailing thought seems to be around the league that Robert Sarver is lucky the NBA isn't at least raising the possibility that he might have to sell his franchise.
Story number three.
Los Angeles Angels star Mike Trout homered last night. Seventh consecutive game. And that means tonight he's going to be trying to homer for the eighth straight game, which would, if he does it, make him only the fourth player in Major League Baseball history to homer in eight straight games. The first person to ever do it, Dale Long. He did it for the Pirates back in 1956. Then Don Mattingly did it for the Yankees in 1987. And Ken Griffey Jr. did it for Seattle in 1993. So Mike Trout trying to join that club tonight against Cleveland. It was just like a month ago where he was diagnosed with an unusual back.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot.
Issue. And, like, people were wondering, like, is he, you know, is he going to be okay? Is he ever going to be the same? Now he hits a home run every game. He's amazing.
Yeah, he is awesome.
It was funny.
I'd love to see him go somewhere else. He'll never, you know, he's just stuck there.
It was funny reading, like, here's the lead to the AP story. Los Angeles Angels star Mike Trout homered in his seventh consecutive game, one shy of the Major League record, but the AL Central leading Cleveland Guardians posted a 5-4 victory on Monday night. Like, yeah. That is every Angel story. Somebody joked about it on Twitter, and it got a bunch of retweets and stuff a few weeks ago. They were like, every time I read anything about the Angels, it says something like, Mike Trout homered three times, and Shohei Ohtani did something that nobody's ever done before, and the Angels lost 7-5. It's like, how do you have these two? Like, Mike Trout is widely regarded as the best baseball player in the world. Shohei Ohtani might be the MVP this year. It's either him or Aaron Judge in the American League. And the team just stinks.
It really is like the Lakers and Clippers in, like, the late 90s, early 2000s. Like, when the Clippers were just, nobody cared, and they were just one of the worst franchises in the league. And, you know, it's kind of, you got a similar situation with the Dodgers and the Angels.
I hate it when he re-signed there, and I get it. They gave him all the money. And at some point, you got to realize, like, real life comes into play.
Right.
Like, you know, they're out in California. They've made it their home. They have children. Like, we're not, I don't want to move to a different part of the country. This is our home now. I understand it. But, God, it would be awesome if he played, you know, a little east, at least in the central time zone or the eastern time zone, and for a franchise that matters. Like, the Angels just don't matter.
No, not at all.
Even in Los Angeles, they're not technically in Los Angeles, and they don't matter. The Dodgers matter. The Angels are the other team.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's crazy that they have both of those guys that would just be mad if they played on, I'm not saying East
just
Coast.
Just like put Mike Trout on the Cubs, and he's
massive star. Right.
Massive.
Yep.
Put Mike Trout on the Yankees or the Mets or the Cubs or the Cardinals.
Yep.
I mean, there's a million places you could put him where he just resonates in a way that just gets lost out in Anaheim.
Yes.
Like most of his home runs and amazing things that he does.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.